Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are steamrolling towards 100 episodes, by the way.
Woo!
I think this might be episode 92, 93, something like that. I didn't check beforehand, so when you see the title and I'm very clearly wrong, you can feel free to make fun of me for it.
Well, 100 puts us four away from 2 years.
Yeah. Yes. We were very close to 2 years. I think July 26th-ish. Is the date that we started this on a couple of years ago. Okay. So we are very close to 2 years of doing this this little podcast here.
Wow.
Two guys talking beer, drinking beer, talking about other stuff.
Hanging out.
Making Keanu Reeves jokes.
Yeah.
Ending with traces, deuces, eventually catorces.
Yeah.
Keen says, maybe. We keep getting comments about people listening, and that's so awesome. I had no idea how the COVID episodes would go, because I know more people would be listening potentially because there's less to do when you're at home, but there was less for us to do because we couldn't go to breweries and we couldn't keep on top of it as we were before.
See, senor.
So hopefully Multnomah County reopens this Friday as promised, and hopefully we start to see some of the social distance practices enacted at the breweries that we love so that we can go record podcasts there, because
yeah,
that'd be nice to be able to get back out in the wild more. It was really nice to be able to go last week. Really nice. Trust us. It was like, wait, how do I record a podcast in public again?
Yeah.
Like, I was sitting at the table like, well, there's not really anybody here because it's not open yet, but all right, guess we're just going to go do
we're
this.
We're going to do it.
It's weird not being in your, like, we got used to this room that we're in, mm-hmm, because it's very mm-hmm comfortable. It's very private.
Very professional.
Well, as I just made a porn sex joke. Very professional. That is professional as far as you know in radio. But getting back out there was kind of interesting last week, but it was really, really good. Nice to meet Stephanie. Yeah, she was great on the podcast. And hopefully you guys enjoyed getting back out there as well. I got a tweet and I texted it to you the other day that said, I finally got up to the COVID episodes. I found the podcast late and I wanted to make sure I heard every single episode before I caught up. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
That's really, it made me feel really good when you said that, because I was like, oh, you went back and listened to every single one? That's a lot of episodes. It's like an average of 35 minutes an episode, and you've listened to 90 of them, or almost 90? I was like, oh my God. So thank you. I think it was John was the guy's name, and he sent a picture. He bought the Dankest Hour from Pelican, which I've been really interested in. He said, yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, I haven't had it yet.
Me neither.
I probably should.
I saw it on the shelf and I was like, ooh, I'll get that next time.
We at Slabtown have a collab coming out shortly, hopefully Monday, maybe even at the earliest. That's a collab with Pelican, part of our 10-year anniversary. And I'm just thinking about the beer and talking to Darren, the head brewer and owner at Pelican. I was kind of like, you know, I need to get back into some Pelican beer, because it's been a while since I've had Pelican.
Every time we've had it on the podcast, it's been really good.
Yeah.
But because it's one of those classic brands that we talked about, you kind of just like,
we just forget
oh, they'll
it
always be there. You right take it for granted.
Yeah. So maybe I'll dive into some Pelican beer.
You can find the podcast almost everywhere you find podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 1080thefan.com, radio.com app, Stitcher, Omni. You can subscribe on some of those services. You can rate us. You can review us. If you have yet to do so and you listen, please do so. It helps us out. And also, even if you haven't gotten to it, just download the episodes, because the numbers will go up, and that helps us out as well. Social medias, Instagram.com/beersonus is where you can find us as the podcast. We post pictures of what we're drinking there generally. The last one I posted is actually going to be had on the podcast today, because I thought it was very unique and interesting. And
sweet,
it's also a brewery that I have not seen on the shelves here ever. So thank you, COVID. So we'll get to that as part of the episode today. Personal pages, at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter is me. I do not have a personal Instagram. Patrick is at PDiddy085 on Instagram. He does have a Twitter. He just doesn't use it.
Facts.
We're going to be doing a tasting room today. It's been a little while since we've done one. And I actually chose all four of these beers. It's actually almost always been Patrick choosing the tasting room beers. And I texted him, hey, you want to do a tasting room today? He goes, yeah, but I'm not going to be able to get any beer. I was like, okay, I'll get it. So he let me choose.
You were like, if you trust me.
I did.
I trust you.
I did say that. So far, did you like the four that I picked?
I did. Yeah, it's across the board.
That was my goal.
Yeah, I have had one of these but I've
also had one of these.
I don't know if I was in the best spot when I had it, so I'm interested to try it again.
So we'll get to that in a second. We'll tell you the four beers that we're going to be drinking, and we have a beer of the week as well. But quickly, for the weekend beer, I didn't do anything over the top. I bought myself a little six-pack of cans of Phaedrus from Culmination. I had one. It was delightful. I also bought a six-pack of Comatose from Good Life, which I had not seen before. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy Imperial IPAs from now and again, and also solid. So that's in my fridge right now. One of the ones that I had, which is on the Instagram, is here. I also tried Hen House, which I know you tried mm-hmm. for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Well, I've had it multiple times, but okay. I hadn't had it in a while.
I think there was only two available. There was a hazy IPA and a regular IPA. It was fine. Nothing super great to write home about for me personally, yeah. Which I think is kind of what you said. It was like,
yeah, I think they make, yeah.
It was fine.
I think it's cool beer. But maybe if we saw a lot of it, maybe if we lived in that area and saw more of it frequently and like off brands and stuff like that, we might have a little more
basically
love for it.
You explained to me that it is a somewhat hyped brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got it, you know, I had some high hopes for it and it was fine. It was fine. Didn't live up to the hype, I will say that, but not bad. Beyond that, nothing over the top crazy that I had. I tried a new gigantic beer that was not a hazy, but it was very like pulpy,
mm-hmm.
Which I can't remember the name of it, but it was interesting, really unique kind of spin on like a tangerine-y kind of over the top orangey flavor without having too much haze in it, but it wasn't my favorite. And the one that we have here, which we'll get to when we get to it, was my favorite of the weekend. So I'm just going to hold off on explaining it.
Mine real quick is, let's see, I picked up some Crowlers from Grains of Wrath last week. And let's see, what did I have? I had the Keefmaster and the Waimea Sunrise.
Oh, you talked about that one.
Yeah. Did I get a Waimea? I don't remember.
We talked about getting a picture of the Waimea sent to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you were very interested. Both of us were interested in trying.
Yeah, I got the Waimea Sunrise and I drank it because it was awesome. And I got the Keefmaster, which is an IPA, and I drank that and it was awesome. And then the third one I got is Beer of the Week.
Mm.
So that's really cool. So I had those. I had a West Coast IPA from Barlow's, the brewery on the waterfront in Vancouver.
That we talked about on the podcast
yes.
a couple weeks
now,
ago.
Now, my girlfriend and I went there.
And by a couple weeks ago, I mean,
yeah,
I have
no
idea.
Who knows what it was. Now, my girlfriend and I went there months ago, and we didn't love the concept of pour your own beers. You get a little card that's loaded money on it, and you can pour as many ounces as you want. I didn't love it, mostly because there's like restaurant seating there, and those people got beer delivered to them. I just think it's strange. Like, pick one or the other sort of thing. But
they do have two locations, too, from what I
Oh, that's right, yeah. But the can that I had, because they put out a can of a West Coast IPA, was pretty dang good. It was pretty solid. I was excited, because I cracked the beer and was kind of like, I don't know. You know, I wasn't blown away when I went there. And then I drank the can, and I thought it was really good, enough to have another one. And then I also had the Citra Leaf Pilsner from Chuckanut.
Ooh.
They have a
Pilsner. How was that? I should say, how good was it? Because I know it was good.
Yeah, they have a Pilsner, you know, with some Citra hops to it. And to be honest, I didn't get a whole lot from the Citra hops.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the beer was great. I mean, the lager, the Pilsner style of it was great. But I think in what it was sold, what it's sold as and what it's told to be, I didn't see as much of that come through. It just tasted like a really great Chuckanut lager.
By the way, you mentioned this either on the podcast or off the podcast. I also saw Sandy Paws this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because it's not normally when it comes out.
No.
But I saw it on the shelf. I was like,
the beer's going to age. Hey. The beer's going to be just fine.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. So we do have...
Oh, last thing first. I forgot to tell you, I had the Top Ferment from Ferment.
I'm very glad that I got this one because I almost picked Top Ferment because I told you that I loved it.
Yeah.
And
I quite enjoyed it.
It's really good.
I drank one at my house. I think I got a part of my beer run last week that I forgot to post.
I had that a couple weeks ago and talked about it on the podcast. That was a really good West Coast IPA. Oh,
and I had a six pack of Fremont Summer Ale that was just gone. Somehow I bought a six pack and then it was just gone.
You woke up one night or one morning and went, oh, I had six beers last night. What did I have? Oh, all of those.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was excellent.
I'm glad that I didn't pick that one and I picked this one instead. So tasting room episode today, we have four beers in front of us plus the Grains of Wrath Crowler, that is the beer of the week. What I chose for you today is the bottom ferment.
From That's ferment. What reminded me that I had the beer.
Yes. This is their Helles Lager, not the West Coast IPA, which is their top ferment. I also took Sun River's Tangerine Pale, one of their black limited release cans. I am once again bringing Wolf Tree from the coast onto the podcast. We've had a couple of their beers that have been quite good. This is just Anchors Down, their amber. We have not had a lot of ambers on the podcast, and I figured it'd be good to kind of get this in there. And then the fourth and final beer is the one that I posted on our Instagram page. It is the Michelar Porter with, coffee and like chicory root. And it was super unique, and I'm very excited to get to that for you because I think you'll find it very, very unique and enjoyable. If you are somebody who enjoys the kind of the porters that are, I've seen a trend of this where they're putting like the beers are putting the spruce tips in and the roots in and like the really more flavorful, powerful flavors. I think you'll enjoy it. So that'll be the fourth one that we have.
Chicory root and coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool can too. I like it.
Well, here we are with some ferment.
I haven't taken a sip yet. I saw you took one.
I'm excited to see a lot more of this come around. I've been a big fan of their ESB and their Czech pills. And I'd had some of their early IPA stuff that I didn't, it wasn't bad. It didn't really speak to me. But that top ferment did speak to me.
Yeah.
And in tasting this bottom ferment, there is such a crisp carbonation flavor to this that I really enjoy. When I think of Helles, I want, like, I basically view Helles kind of like, and I know if you've listened to this podcast, you know that this is one of my favorite styles. I view it as like, this is my craft beer Rainier. You know, this is my craft beer domestic because it's got the light profile. There's low hop character.
Yep.
The malt comes through nicely. And as long as it doesn't get a little too bready, I'm super into this. This is a little more bready than I would normally like, but I love the crispness. It's got that like, that Coca-Cola.
I think that's why I like this one better than some of the Helleses you've brought in, because I like the slightly more bready profile in the Helles. So this is really solid. The mid palate is delightful.
Yeah.
I know you would like that a lot. Based on my sip, I was like, oh, he's gonna really enjoy the body of this beer.
Yeah, this beer finishes really clean. I really like this.
And you're right. The carbonation, I didn't really think about it on my first sip, but yeah, it pops. It helps the beer pop because it is very bready, but you get these little bursts of kind of bitterness in there as well.
I think it's something that's hugely important. You know, I don't know how much it correlates to, you know, traditional style of it per se, but like when I like this is the kind of beer that you can approach a non-craft beer drinker with. We always talk about that, and I think a lot of that has to do with the crisp chill to it, and without it. You know, it's hard to discern it from, you know, just a craft beer.
It's funny because when you look at it, it doesn't look very carbonated.
It's these crappy glasses, I think.
Well, but still, though, you can tell. I feel like, well, when you spin it like a tornado, yeah, you'll get the carbonation in there. But when you take the sip, it really pops. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like it's going to, because it doesn't have a lot of head either, unless you spin it like a tornado.
I mean, I probably could have given it more head when I poured it, but... Let's see here.
I gotta say, these two from Ferment, the top and bottom ferments, have been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen new beers from them on the shelves in a very long time.
Yeah.
Because those unique bottles that they have, kind of like the stubby bottles.
Yep, with the long neck.
Yeah, they've got like four or five beers that are out there that you see all the time. And I've had those, and yeah, I mean, they're good. The ESB is really good. We've had it on the podcast before. Yeah. I really do enjoy that one. They have a dry Irish stout that's also solid. But the other ones, like you said, yeah, okay, they're fine. I've been there once before. It was fine. Really nice views, really nice place, but nothing over the top, in my opinion, especially when Frame is just down the street. These two, oh boy.
I know.
Getting really good here, Ferment.
Yeah.
Keep up this train, because I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing.
Yeah, then I'll just sleep in my truck, park on the street there in Hood River.
Yeah.
And I'll just drink all day at Frame and Ferment, and then just pass out in the truck. So it's great.
And then maybe order, like, Double Mountain Pizza down to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't get up there, guys. Can you just, like...
Can need a hand here.
Just bring me some pizza.
Water from a spring at the base of Mount Hood, German Pilsner malt, Tettnanger hops. Sounds all classic to me. And a time-honored European lager yeast strain. I don't know if that's just short for Augustiner, but This classic Bavarian beer style is best executed in a single malt, single hop approach to fully appreciate these world-class ingredients. 4.7.
Very good. Very, very good.
473 milliliters. Go USA Systems.
Very, very specific.
Otherwise known as 16 ounces.
I will say, based on COVID, I have enjoyed the fact that I'm basically getting a pint for cheaper than I would get a pint in a restaurant.
Totally,
just
man.
By buying these cans.
Well, that's always package. Package is always going to be that.
But it's like, because I'm doing it more, I'm like, oh, I just had four pints and I saved myself like $6, $7, $8.
Yeah.
Nice. I can go buy another pint then.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I drink, so like for right now, we have 4-pack cans of the SoCal Pils, the collab we did with Freem. That's $14. Okay. For 4 pints. Okay. That would normally be $20. Yeah. So you save $6.
Yep.
And I'm not tipping anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was $20, I'm probably tipping $6, $7 because I'm an egregious tipper. So I'm really saving like $15.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is really nice when someone else pours it for me.
Yeah, and you can sit at the bar and talk to people.
Never
and
sit at a bar again.
Be social. And
this sucks.
Well, that's really negative.
No, it's fine. We're good.
We'll sit at a bar again. It'll be fine.
Sure, someday.
I mean, maybe we can sit at a bar already just with 3 seats next to us that are open.
Mm-mm. Can't sit at a bar.
At all?
Nope.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's part of the rules.
Like, even if they social distance at the bar top?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. How come a lot of rules in the state of Oregon?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You're the one who works in the restaurants. I figured you'd know more.
Yeah, man. The state came and you were like, this is what you can and can't do. And we were like, okay, can we open?
Yeah, please. Can we
please?
Just, please?
Please?
Please? We'll be good. We promise.
Yeah.
We want people to come in the doors again.
Yeah.
And not just buy crawlers.
Right.
Please? Please? Okay. So, second beer. I tried to order this in the most tasting tray way possible.
Yeah, we got it.
So the second one is the Sun River Tangerine Pale.
Trippin'. So I'm going to assume that it is rippin' with some tangerine.
Ooh, that's a good assumption. I did not think about that. I do love myself some rippin'. Ooh, it's very cloudy on the pour. Is that hazy? Is it a hazy pale?
I don't think it's supposed to be hazy. I think you just put a bunch of tangerine in it.
And it just changes the color?
Yeah, I've had this beer before.
Is that similar to like the gigantic one I had this weekend where it was like super citrusy, but it wasn't really a hazy, but it looked like this?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more orange?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, this looks like hazy.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah. Maybe that's...
It doesn't smell very hazy, though. It smells very tangerine.
Maybe that's the route. I mean, God, hazy is so weird. Like...
I feel bad
it doesn't have,
constantly it, ripping on them because I know people like them, but it's like, I don't.
There's no base ground rules for a hazy in terms of flavor, okay? So everything is just all over the place in terms of what they taste like. But the one common factor that people have to have is it has to look a certain way.
Right.
And I just bleeping hate it because...
Hey, look is important. We've talked about it.
Aesthetics are important, sure, but so is flavor. And there's just like, it's just this smorgasbord.
Flavor schmaver.
It's just this smorgasbord.
Does it look good on Instagram, Patrick?
Of flavor. Most of the time it looks terrible. Just this wild range of flavor that can be anywhere from just straight juice and pulp to like bitter and hoppy. But it has to look like chalk yellow. And it's like, no, like no, it doesn't have to look like that.
It does not. We've found that out. We've had some good hazies that have been not chalk yellow. We've had some hazies that have been a little bit more on the clear side, a little bit more bitter. You know, we've enjoyed them. I'm going to come out and say it. I don't enjoy this beer very much.
I think it's all right. It's not a hazy.
No.
There's definitely like hoppy pale ale elements to it.
But it's really covered.
It's just got a lot
tangerine.
Of fruit.
Yeah.
It's just a fruit ale. If you want a fruited beer and tend to drink IPAs, I think you'll like this. On a hot, sunny day, sure, why not? I'm with you. I don't think this beer is bad. I think it has
a bitterness to it.
I think this beer, for what it is really good. It's just not something I want to drink.
It has a good bitterness to it, but it's really being overpowered, I think, by the tangerine. And I guess that's probably the point. Right?
Yeah. So in terms of like design and what you wanted, I think you accomplished it.
It's just like for you, it's not for my palate.
No,
I'm not.
Especially when I know what ripping tastes like.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That beer rules.
It's one of your favorite beers of all time.
Of all time.
I think the one thing I don't like about these kind of overly citrus fruit beers is I almost feel it in my stomach for a while.
Yeah.
Like
the acidity?
The acidity sits there and kind of bubbles and hurts a little bit.
Yeah, I can buy that.
Maybe it's because I'm getting a little bit older and my stomach doesn't handle things as well as it used to, but it's just not for me, man. Maybe the look is also giving me an issue too. Like I look at it and I'm just like, this looks like lemonade.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste like lemonade, obviously, but it tastes like a really, really, really tangerine-y, citrusy ripping.
I mean, it tastes like beer.
So if you want to go,
beer.
If that's what you want, then go for it. But it is not my fave. Not my fave at all. Yeah. All right. Take a quick break. We'll do the other two beers on the other side and then beer of the week. This is Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. All right, welcome back. Beers on Us, Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris, middle of Tasting Room Volume 6. Two beers to go in the tasting room, and due to time constraints, we're going to throw the beer of the week in this segment as well. Third beer on the list is Wolf Trees Anchors Down, which is a really cool can, by the way. I really enjoy it. It's just an amber ale. We have not done an amber in a very long time.
To be honest, there's not a lot of packaged.
True. And we also did the episode way back in the day on this, and we talked about how it's a great introductory beer. I really liked ambers going in, but have slowly kind of trickled away from them just because I found more styles that I like more than ambers. But I saw this. I've liked a lot of what Wolf Tree has done. I had their... I can't remember the name of it, but I had a stout from them very, very recently that I liked a lot. So I figured, you know, we've had a couple of their beers and let's give another one a go.
Why not? Why not?
And plus we have not done ambers in a while. So it's like, it'll be a reintroduction to a style that neither of us has probably tried in a long time.
Yeah. Wolf Tree Brewery out of Seal Rock, Oregon, which I believe is on the coast, probably a little tiny town in between somewhere. I think I looked it up. Was it by Lincoln?
In between somewhere and somewhere.
Lincoln.
Lincoln County.
Lincoln City. 5.5%.
Well, this is an interesting. See, this is the thing that I like about Wolf Tree.
$5.50 for a can. That's a little. It's a little steep.
This is. It's $4.49.
$4.50. $4.50 for a can is a little steep these days.
I've seen some of that price because of the rarity of the brewery.
Yeah,
maybe.
I suppose. Yeah,
or maybe the distance.
Probably cost them a lot of money to make to pay someone a can.
The one thing I've liked about Wolf Tree's beers that I've had so far. Oh, Ship Biscuits. That was the name of the stout that I really enjoyed. Is that they...
You just started saying that, and I was like, what are you saying to me?
Ship Biscuits.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Is that all of the beers that I've had from them have a twist. Remember we had that pomegranate Hef from them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's something that we know, but it's changed a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that's really cool. I feel the same way about this one. This is a very classic malty amber, but there's something in there that has a little flair, at least in my first sip that I had, that makes it unique. And that's why I keep going back to them, because it's... That's how you stand out. A, you've got cool artwork, which I think they do, and they have a cool logo. But B, if you can stand out and make your beer styles ones that people know and love, but make them unique and different so that they remember you, that's what I really like. And I think Wolf Tree is doing that to a T. I don't know what it is in this beer that makes me feel that way, but it's got something in it.
I think it's got some like spicy hops to it. Because there's something, yeah, there's like something spicy to it that I'm getting.
Yeah, there's a great, the very end of the palate on the drink, on the sip, is super malty and a little bit caramely. And it's like, ooh, I'm having an amber, right? Almost to porter levels of malt in the back end of it. But you're right, there's a spice to it. There's a flair to it.
It's not too sweet.
No. The sweetness is there, but it's not overbearing, which sometimes with ambers, you'll get a lot of the overbearing sweetness in it. I like this beer a lot. I really do. Man, Wolf Tree, bravo. I would give you, okay, I'm going to put the glass down. Whee! I know I'm just some guy doing a podcast, but I've really liked your beers, the last few that I've had. I really, really enjoyed them.
Maybe we should go out there.
And I also saw one on the shelf that I've been a little bit hesitant to try because I know it's going to be flavorful. They have a Spruce Tip beer. And it was, you know, that when it's like super aromatic, flavorful stuff, it kind of overwhelms me a little bit. And that makes me a little bit nervous. But because I've liked every other beer that you've done, I'm probably going to try that next because I've seen that on the shelf. Man, this is good.
I'm not learning anything about it online.
Okay, that's fine.
Per usual.
I mean, we can assume that there's some sort of spicy hop something going on in there. Yeah. Not spicy like heat, but just like, again, it's like the first one we had with the bottom ferment. There was a pop of bitterness in the Helles. There's a pop of bitterness in the middle of the sip with this Anchor's Down Amber.
Yeah, this beer kind of reminds me a little bit of like an alt beer.
Really?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you know, an alt is, you know, is more ale than lager, but in flavor-wise and perception is a little more lager than ale. I mean, this is for sure an ale. The body speaks for it, but it's got characters like an alt beer does. It's not overly sweet like an amber is, and it's got some of that, like, spicy, musky character to it.
It's almost like...
I think if this was a voting table, like if this was a judging table, I don't think this beer lasts. Okay. But in a blind tasting of just, is this beer good? I think this beer holds up.
Why? Is it just because it's Wolf Tree and it's an amber or something? Or like,
no, I think because I think ambers on a judging board, they're going to look for that toasty, caramely, sweet, you know, kind of fullness to where this has got a lot more depth.
Yeah.
This is not overly sweet. And I think that's a main characteristic of this style.
Let me ask you a question. This might be totally off, but this beer is reminding me slightly of the Elijah Craig 50-50 that we had in terms of, I almost feel like I'm getting a little bit of like oak in it. Hmm. There's something that you're talking about that's a little bit like stick to your palate, like kind of woody right off the top.
Interesting.
And I know that it's not a barrel beer, so I know that that's not what's in there, but I'm getting a characteristic that's reminding me a lot of how I felt mouthfeel-wise when I was having that beer.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, I taste the barrel. Oh, it's not like syrupy. It's not like whiskey-y. I just taste the barrel.
Interesting.
And I feel like on my first... Take a sip with that in your mind and see if you get it, because right off the top, like right as it enters my mouth, I'm like, ooh, what's that? It's like... a smokiness or something that's in there. I don't know how to describe it. And maybe this is me just describing the flavor I'm tasting incorrectly, but there's something in there that I really enjoy.
I don't follow.
Okay. I might be on an island on that one, but it's something that's in my palate that's kind of sitting there. So, hey, bravo Wolf Tree. I've given you bravo a couple of times, but that I like this beer a lot. And I have not had a lot of ambers lately. And the ones that I have not been spectacular. All right. Final one in the tasting room is the one that I posted on Instagram this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Michelur Porter brewed with chicory root and coffee. It's called the Chicory.
Chicory!
Like I said, I don't tend to enjoy the beers that use the very flavorful ingredients, like any sort of root or the spruce tips, because I think it overpowers it. But when I had this on Saturday this weekend, boy, oh boy, was I... very surprised and pleased by how understated that flavor was and how it really just kind of balanced the beer out. So I hope you feel the same way. I haven't been drinking a lot of porters lately. So when I saw this on the shelf, I was like, ooh, I got to give this a try. Plus I haven't been to Michelur, or at least their little pop-up before all the COVID stuff. So, I hope you enjoy.
Okay. I've seen some of their stuff on the shelves, but it's all been like, to me, I feel like it's all been like crazy beers.
Crazy. Well, I mean, does this count as crazy? It's a little bit unique, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This counts as crazy. Sorry. I was just looking something up. Yeah. This counts as crazy. I mean, chicory.
I've never seen chicory root in a beer before.
No, me neither. The only thing that, so I haven't tasted this yet. The only thing I'm apprehensive on this, and this is like a personal thing for me, is I'm not a big coffee beer guy. I don't drink coffee.
Nor am I.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee in my regular days.
I drink coffee.
I do like coffee, and I like the flavor and the smell, and I like the intricacies of coffee. It's just not my thing. So it's tough for me to drink these beers, and I don't know what to expect with the chicory. I'm worried the coffee is going to overpower the chicory.
You know what? I'm going to take the sip. You're going to like this because it's going to remind you of a dry Irish stout. Because it is very dry, it is very palatable, and neither flavor overpowers the porter.
No.
It's very neutral in terms of they pair with each other very well, and it just gives you a nice, roasty, balanced slightly unique because of the chicory flavor, whatever that is. I don't know. I've never had that as far as I know. Whatever it is a little unique flair in there. Similar to the Wolf Tree, it's a porter that's unique. And that's why I liked it so much.
I can see why you like this.
Does it not give you that dry kind of vibe that you normally enjoy?
Sure. Looking up some chicory stuff here. Yeah, it was part of the dandelion family. I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't know that. Woody, herbaceous.
Woody. Where's Buzz Lightyear when we need him?
Yeah. And used as a coffee substitute and food additive.
Oh, so coffee with the coffee substitute. That's interesting.
Interesting. Chicory.
Like it? Dislike it?
I'm okay with it. It's tough to say. Like, I don't taste any bad things from it. I think it finishes fine. You're spot on with the dryness. It's just a tough beer for me to wrap my head around.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That means it's flavorful and interesting.
Sure. It's not bad.
1,000% up my alley.
It's not bad. Yeah. I need to drink more from this brewery because I couldn't tell you what this brewery's about. I couldn't tell you anything.
I know the pop-up had like Asian fusion food.
Yeah.
And it was like, what?
Which I'm down with.
Well, I mean, great. But you're like, that's the food, but you're making what I thought was like Belgian or German style beer. But then you're making this porter and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are our four tasting room beers. Quick break. On the other side, Beer of the Week. Beers on Us, Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. Beer of the Week time here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Oh boy. You have to go soon. And you're just opening a crowler.
Yep. I hope you and anyone around here wants some burr.
Mistakes were made. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll get to enjoy this well past the point of recording this podcast. All right, Patrick. Please do tell the beer of the week as you were the one who purchased.
Well, technically I didn't purchase this.
You were the one who...
My wonderful...
What's the word?
My wonderful, wonderful friends... at the Great Grains of Wrath Brewery.
What's up, guys? We love you.
Bestowed this upon me at no charge.
Very nice.
They're very, very great people.
They are. They are very nice people.
They're open on the... They're open today. I think today's their first day in phase two.
Because phase two, yeah.
Yeah. Washington, like, phase one is basically just like, you can go out in public. Phase two is very similar to our phase one.
Right.
Where restaurants open at a limited seating capacity and things like that. So they're open. And they've got a can release on Friday, too, that I might try to sneak some out there this weekend at some point. EGA in cans. And then I saw Built for Speed again.
Built for Spill.
I love that band. Built for Speed. And then what was the other one? The other one is Dystopia? Dystopia? I think it's Dystopia.
I think so, too.
Because it's not Crypt Keeper or anything like that. I'm going to struggle here to try to find it because I'm sure it will pop up here.
Your mid-show research has been...
pretty shoddy right now.
Yeah, you're like looking at your phone. You're just like, I can't find it.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Anyway, it's probably Dystopia.
Anyway, so I'm going to try to sneak out there and grab some cans this week because I love that stuff. This, I just was looking at the board. I got the Keefmaster and the Waimea Sunrise. I knew the Waimea was good and I had a little taste of the Keefmaster, so I wanted to get down on a crowler of that. And then I just looked and was like, you know what? It's been a while. I grabbed their Irish Curse, which is their dry Irish stout.
I've never had this from them before.
Or as me and a friend say, dryrish.
Okay, works.
I can't say if I've had this beer either. Usually if I'm at Grains, I drink Mike's Vienna Lager because I really like that. And then I dabble through their hoppy stuff because, you know, they're great at hoppy beers.
They're great at all beers.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. Yeah, they're great at all beers.
Great at all beers for 600, Patrick.
What is Grains of Wrath?
Ding, 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 ding.
Daily double. All
right, instantly the winner.
Did you try this?
I did.
Is it good?
Yes. It is super easy drinking. It doesn't even taste like a stout. It's so easy drinking.
Oh.
It's like, I don't know what the best way to put it. It's like a clear stout. In my mind, because when you normally drink a stout, and even with the porter we just had from Michelin, it's like it hits you with like a wall of flavor.
Yeah.
And this one it's flavorful, but it's very easy on the palate, and I enjoy it a lot.
4.2%. That's my kind of holla. on an Irish stout. Yeah, man. I love this style. It's really cool today that we did. We had two different beers of styles that I love, and they aren't hoppy beers. Yeah, Dry Irish Stout and Helles. Those are two of probably my go-tos outside of the hoppy stuff.
Yeah, that's why I got the Helles thinking of you, and then I got the Michler thinking of you, but you didn't like it as much as I did.
I'm a little bit confused. I'm sorry.
I'm a little bit confused.
I'm sorry.
I know you're in a rush, but I mean, I thought maybe you'd have a little bit more.
It could also just be because of what I'm in the mood today. Like, there are many times...
because you had a Dry Irish Stout coming up right behind it, and you were like, this isn't a dry stout, Mike. Come on.
No, I think some of it is just, you know, that, like, I think tasting beer can be mood associated.
And you're in a hate dark beer mood right now.
I am not in a hate dark beer mood. I have a dark beer in front of me that I'm quite enjoying.
4.2%, yeah.
Yeah.
You're in a hate high ABV beer mood right now.
Maybe. I mean, I do got a lot to work. Yeah. I'm just stressed out, Michael.
Okay, well, high ABV would help stress. Come on, Patrick.
I'm not that stressed out.
Come on!
I'm not that stressed out.
All right, that's going to do it for us today.
I should be more stressed out, but I'm actually not.
You're happy that things might be opening again.
Well, yeah, I've just spent all week trying to whip up that bar into shape because we basically tore it down. Basically, like, got rid of everything when this whole thing started. Mm. So now I got to put everything back.
Right. And you also got to make sure things are 6 feet apart and tables and walkways. And
that's someone else's job to worry
about. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, right now.
You just have to, like, stand there and watch them do it.
Yeah, I'm about to put Stay West on draft at work.
Whoop, whoop!
I'm so pumped about that. The new batch of Stay West tastes so good.
Well, let's all hope and pray. You will probably know by now from listening that Multnomah's opening or not on Friday the 12th. Hopefully it is, and hopefully you'll be able to get out to some of your favorite breweries again, granted in a limited capacity, but hopefully you'll be able to do that. Wherever you find us, please subscribe, rate, review, and you can also DM us on Instagram or you know, message us on Twitter. Any beer that you're drinking, send us. I've been really enjoying seeing people's hauls that they've gotten during the week for their weekend beer. So keep sending that to us.
Yeah, we like that a lot.
We'll be back next week. Once things start opening again, we had plans, man. We were rolling.
Yep.
We had a lot of momentum going into before COVID. We had plans for our 2-year anniversary, which I guess still might be happening, or maybe it's slightly delayed. We had plans to go to multiple locations.
Yep.
So we'll get back to doing that as long as those places will have us and are open again outside of takeout only. So hope and pray that Multnomah opens this Friday, and we will hope and pray that we will be out in the public once again starting in a week or two.
I'm going to go buy some beer tomorrow, and I might pick up a 6-pack of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Whoa. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you guys next week.
Traces.